Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome back to Supercoach Edge. Well, round seven saw us back to playing a full team of 22 players, unless, of course, you had to carry a concussed Tom Stewart on the bench, who sat alongside Harley Reid, the Eagles, strangely rewarded with a week off after a career-best game. Given their recent wins and good form, if they're trying to tank, they're not doing a very good job of it. But Liam, for those that went early at the, we're going to call the Ruck candy shop, they were treated to a sweet, sweet reward, weren't they?
Yes, they were. Soldo out injured, so sweet. Absolutely relished, I'm going to say, his shot as the number one. Finally, number one Ruck. He's done it.
Smashing he's out. Fist pumping.
136. I mean, if I was Soldo, I'd be questioning how I got injured.
I don't even know what the injury was.
No, I don't know. I don't know either. But just saying.
Is that like the ice skater, the Olympian ended up breaking her knee, whatever it was, because it was the her compatriot that ended up bringing her down.
Come on,
that's virtually what could have happened.
I just feel bad for Sweet. We left the Bulldogs to go to Port.
He's like rubbing his hands like a meerkat, and then, like, yes.
Lol, trade in Smolder.
You reckon it's strategic where they went for him, like went for him first, like, oh, yeah, 100%. Like, you're going to have the number one spot, and the next minute, yeah, and Soldo would much prefer to have you as a number one ruckman. And Sweet would just be like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, so, so sad. But anyway. Yeah, so 136, like a massive score. But meanwhile, all of us non-owners watched him score that 136, and we were left drooling like Homer Simpson reaching out for the Venus gummy de Milo stuck to the butt of the babysitter in that episode.
Precious Venus.
Somebody had to take the babysitter home. Then I noticed she was sitting on her sweet can. I just wish I had her sweet can.
So, Mr. Simpson. You admit you grabbed her can.
No, Mr. Simpson, don't take your anger out on me. Get back. Mr. Simpson, no!
Dramatization may not have happened.
Those people that don't know the episode, go and watch it, because you'll have no idea what we're referring to there, but a classic Simpsons episode.
Yes,
but alas, Liam, he can finally be ours. Oh, yes, he is ours.
That's it. He's as soon as Supercoach opened, he was traded straight to my side.
Yeah, like a spoonful straight of sugar.
That's it.
Helps the medicine go down, apparently.
What medicine? My Supercoach side certainly needs lots of medicine. moving on, before we get stuck into things, of course, if you're not following us on any of our socials, or if you're not following us on all of our socials, do it. You can find us here on YouTube, search Supercoach Edge, and please don't forget to subscribe so you can be notified of when our content drops from week to week, and you can, you know, get the full experience, full audio and visual experience On Twitter, search @supercoach_edge for our Supercoach Edge page. Damon at DamoJ88, myself at LiamEvans_95, and on Facebook, Insta, and TikTok, etc. Search Supercoach Edge and you'll find us there.
Very good. Well, Liam, before we begin by taking a quick look at how we both performed for the round, probably this is just delaying things, probably for good reason, considering how we performed, but we just want to take a moment, a brief moment, to give a massive shout out to a legend that goes by the username I Don't Really Like Cheese, which is interesting in itself, but he took his support of our content to the absolute next level by gifting us what's called a super thanks here on YouTube to the tune of $38.99. Sounds like a bargain. Sounds like we should be on special on the shelves of Woolies. But I don't really like cheese. So this absolutely blew us away. First off, because we didn't really know anyone could actually support us using this function, but more so that any such legend would consider doing that with their hard earned is just hands down incredible. So to you, sir, we cannot thank you enough. And we don't, you know, expect the generosity like this at all in any way, shape or form. Like, you know, as we always say, it's a cliche, but, you know, if we have you tuning in, whether it be via audio podcast or via the vodcast through YouTube, that to us is reward in itself. But I think out of this, what it does underline to us is, you know, while we love doing this week after week, you know, for all of you virtually tuning in, because you are such a supportive and loving audience. And for that, we are eternally grateful. So we'll read out the humorous message that I Don't Really Like Cheese did actually send along with his super thanks, which we pinned in the comments on our last YouTube video, if you do want to see it. But it reads as such: your videos never fail to make me laugh. Absolutely deserve this for all the work you boys put in for us. Keep it up. Absolute legends. Hopefully the cash helps Liam bring in some consistent primos.
I mean, let's be real.
Very good.
Probably wasted. Brilliant. Jack Steele. I've got some words for that boy.
We do have some words. Absolutely. But just rounding us out. So to you, I don't really like cheese. It's a shame you don't, because cheese is stuff of the gods, I think, anyway. I could live off likewise. That stuff. I don't know about you, Liam. But perhaps you change his mind. Yeah, we might buy a cheese board.
In honor of him.
Yeah, that could be an honorary Supercoach Edge cheese board. But speaking of boards, he's not only going to go on our own honor board as our first Super Thanks legend, but even more so, what do you reckon? Do you reckon that we name this honor board the cheese board, I don't really like cheese board, the Hall of Fame?
I'm here for it.
So that, of course, will be reserved for anyone from here on out that matches his generosity, big or small. So again, I don't really like cheese board. It just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? So tip of the cap to you, kind sir. I like that. Good suggestion by you, Liam.
I don't know. Obviously, I don't know anything about I don't really like cheese other than his handle being I don't really like cheese. Can you please let us know why?
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
he's lactose
intolerant.
Is there
more to it? Is there, like, what I mean, is there more to this? Yeah. Is it just
service story
level?
Behind it.
You know, because it's a niche thing to call yourself.
Yeah. I remember, like, one of my, in my childhood, one of my early dogs, Sasha, ended up eating a whole wheel of cheese, very much like an Anchorman. You know, and he's like, you eat a whole wheel of cheese? I'm not mad. I'm impressed. But yeah, like a brie, like whole wheel of brie cheese. Like, is it something like that where it was, you know, yeah, you're about to take a bite of some cheese and all of a sudden your pet comes over the top and eats the whole cheese, which happened as well. Different dog with, was actually Buddy, my last dog, had a, this has gone off on tangent again, as we always do, but ended up having a Hungry Jack's burger on a plate and jumped up on the table and took the whole burger. Before, and I was just like, it's like in her mouth, and it's like, it's gone. Like, what are you going to do? Rip it out and eat the other? So yeah, I was like, I mean, just enjoy it. I was annoyed, but she enjoyed it. So that was the main thing.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, let us know. Is there a story like that behind that handle? Very, very good point. Or is it just because you're lactose intolerant? Because then wouldn't it be, I don't really like dairy? Why cheese? Why pick on cheese?
That's a good point.
But all we know about him as well, apart from him being a legend, is he's got a little, avatar, little picture of, I assume, him and his mate giving the old gangster like peace sign in a really cool way. So it looks like they're at potentially at a deb or a ball. Maybe we're reading into this too
looks
much.
Looks like he's got gloves on, one of them.
Gloves on. Yeah, or maybe he's just a limo driver and those are his driving gloves. Anyway, shall we move on, Liam? The people
Yes.
are listening in. They're tuning in. They're watching us, and they're like, hurry up. Can you get to the Supercoach content? I know there are some people out there that like us going on the tangents, but shall we do it?
Let's do it. Let's go
Let's do
into
it.
Round seven. Damon, how'd you score?
With my own driving gloves. So I ended up scoring a 2,323 and ranking. I am now ranked 4,423rd overall. Actually down 405 spots, surprisingly. I went in, I guess, opened up Supercoach and I was like, oh, seems like an all right score. Maybe above par, but it was slightly under par. So I ended up sliding the 405 spots in rank. In terms of trades, I ended up cashing in Dempsey to Hugo Garcia. Now, I must say, I was obviously at that game, Geelong Carlton, and Dempsey started on fire.
Yeah, he did.
And I was like, here we go. Here we go. This is gonna absolutely burn me. And I don't reckon he scored more than a single
he
point
started,
after half time.
Yeah, it was like, I reckon even first quarter, I reckon he was on about 30 something. And then
it was everywhere.
Slowed down completely after that. Like, I kept checking back and being like, you know, poking with a stick, being like, do something.
But yeah, ended up trading out Dempsey to Hugo Garcia. Didn't burn me all that much, surprisingly. And that actually allowed me to upgrade Massimo to Leboshi. So I guess overall, in summary, I had some players down on form in recent weeks. They bounced back to their regular primo status with Green smashing out that 159, Took 149, and Sarong 140. But that was annoyingly offset by the down performances of Steele with a 70, Jackson 76, Wangan and Miller at 82, and Bont, I mean, everyone's got him, but 102. But I think to give it some perspective, at least outside of that, I did have to sit Stewart, much like yourself would have, Liam.
Yep.
So playing virtually one rookie less than others, you would think, by and large. So there's that. And then I guess to top it off, the cherry on top, which was a good thing, was the big bearded one in Maxi. Did us proud with a 162 as El Capitano. And how did you fare, Liam?
I think we just queue up the recording. For a broken
Again.
Record every week.
We press play.
Oh, anyway, let's go.
It'll turn the title.
Not having gone has really hurt me in much the same way as last year that English, not having English hurt me. So.
Oh, it's true. Oh, geez.
It's killing me. This year, much Christ. Worse, though. Gone's killing me much more. Score was 2,136. Let me get the classic side, not the draft side up. And ranking was 80,063rd overall, so went up 1.2k spots. Yay!
She's better than me.
That's something.
She went up.
I mean,
look
I
at the
feel,
positives.
Well, that's it. In terms of trades, I thanked Jack Carroll, Riley Sanders, and Massimo D'Ambrosio for their services, and booted them out for Hugo Garcia, your boy. Sammy Walsh, and of course, Matty Rao himself.
Ooh,
he came, and both of them actually came in with the VC and C straight up. You know, just
supreme confidence backing in the new boys.
Backed in Walsh, who did score 104. So then I rolled the dice on Rao, who was on like zero halfway through the first quarter. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. Like, seriously.
Like, everything's going against me.
Like, come on. But score of 136. Happy with that. What else happened? Not too bad. I mean, my biggest issue was probably having to field Draper.
Yeah, for Stewart. Yeah,
for Stewart,
that's what hurt you more
me.
Than anything.
Yeah.
I reckon.
Score of 11 didn't help. And then Jackson. I mean, Jackson owned by a lot of people, 76. Dempsey, 49. Cadman, 53. Not too bad overall. Rao, 136 as captain. But Jack Steele, we'll talk about him later.
Yep. Yep, he is. It's a sense of deja vu, isn't it? Sense of deja vu.
I'm sick of it. Next,
yep,
concern,
always happens.
I want to be held accountable next year when I am enticed by him. I'm not bringing him in.
He is like your
done.
Nat Fyfe. What
he's
Nat Fyfe
like
is to me.
Absolutely done.
Like Fyfe's done for me.
Refuse.
I'm not bringing Fyfe in, even if Fyfe is a top six forward, he can go and get stuffed. That's the level that I think you're going to be at with Jack Steele. And I don't blame you, but
like,
he's burnt us both again. Well, let's
jump into
quickly
the
roll through head-to-head.
Wonder
no
how
surprise.
It's going.
Yeah, woo! I'm just... What you giving? You give me a handicap. I'm convinced, Liam. You're giving me a handicap. I'm 7 wins, and you're going to steamroll me. You're going to come out of the blocks. You brought in the big dog in Rao, who I haven't got. So there's your edge, your super coach edge. And yeah, now's the time. But differential now lies at 1,161. Just quickly get that out of the way. And there's the seven win difference, but this time, Liam, the season is still young. The
That's
night is
it.
young,
Coming back.
and you're coming back. Exactly. Well, that's it. Well, let's jump straight into the segment that sums up the wider Supercoach round in our general, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Well, first up in the good, of course, we spoke about him, the big bearded one in Maxi Gawn. Once again, went maximum with a 162, treating owners to a nice VC lock in score first up, if you owned him. Sorry, Liam. I know it probably hurts every time I mention Gawn, but he is a chef's kiss.
He's a chef kiss. In terms of the bad, you know what? I reckon he should be the ugly, but anyway. Jack Steele.
It's true.
It's been a fall from grace for Steele owners. Ugh. And a sight that looks all too familiar to both of us, with a deja vu type scenario of his fitness suddenly being under question and his form tapering shortly after you bring him into your team. And you just know that you're going to trade him out and the strapping will be gone the next week. And he'll be pumping out 170s and 190s.
It's gonna happen.
With back-to-back scores of 84 and 70 and a heavily strapped knee, we can only pray it is an isolated issue. But I'm not happy. I'm really not happy. Didn't start him because I didn't like the fact that he's always injured. I then bring him into my team because I got enticed. And he's done it again.
He's done it again. Well, it must be mystical powers because, Liam, I don't know about you, but I've literally just tried to go into because I wanted to check when I brought in Steele into my team. And the interface for Supercoach has completely changed. They've actually updated their interface. So when you get a chance, have a look on your desktop. Because, you know, you normally have a look at history, which is the drop-down box. They've now got it along the top of your team, which is much easier to access.
Oh, yes, it has actually. I didn't
And it's
notice
all
that,
rounded
Jackson.
edges. Like there's no sort of no pointed
Yes.
edges. So I don't mind this, but yeah, I was freaking out. I was like, what did I click? What have I done? But yeah, as it happens, as we record this. So people will probably already be familiar with it, but that is the power of steel. So when did I actually bring him in? I brought him in round five. So heading into round five, which at least I got one good score out of him, I think.
I brought him in round four, so I probably got two good scores, but I don't care. I'm done. He's lucky he's not being traded.
I got one good score. That's it. Yeah. 143, then an 84 and a 70. Geez, even the interface for the players has changed. Like it's all over the shop.
But this is where it's weird. Why would you update it mid-season? Like, anyway, I've got a lot of questions, but I'm not going to
I
ask
reckon
them.
it was a late rollout, like they were running behind schedule. It's a long, long while behind schedule, like 7 rounds in.
Because you'd think that you'd want it to be before the season starts.
Yeah, exactly right. Strange. Anyway, let's roll on with the ugly, of course. Tom Powell
Yes.
scored just 49, and that itself was concerning. But more concerning was his change of role and lack of CBAs, which dropped from 77% to just 14%. And this came largely off Will Phillips siphoning CBAs, along with randomly Paul Curtis, that is, being gifted 26% CBAs, and she's nuts, 14%. So, as Clarko said, he's going to try and roll him through the middle. And that's already started, as we saw on the weekend, ever so briefly. But if Clarko persists with this setup, I think this is something that we're going to have to reassess with Powell. It's whether or not he's going to be a top six forward and a keeper in our sides. But we'll discuss that in a little bit more detail a little bit later. So, Liam, with round eight on the horizon, let's jump into trade talk with The Price is Right.
Show me the money.
The price is wrong, bitch.
Yes, for those tuning in for the first time, The Price is Right is the segment where we discuss the potential trades and targets that you should be looking at from week to week. We even chat about players, whether they should even be traded at all. We'll do that now, but we're going to kick off with going, gone. And first up, we have Jeremy Sharp, 324.7K, break even of 75. Those that held him, hoping for a nice score on field, were soon regretting it, with Sharp scoring just 44, his lowest for the season. He's now dropped around 13K and has a break even of 75, which is now well above his current average of 70.7. The time to cash him in is now. He has made you 208, 200.8K in profit. So yeah, I wouldn't be too worried about having to trade him now. Move on. He's still laughing all the way to the bank with that cash.
Yeah, good old cashola. I was in that boat. I opted to hold him, and he gave me a slap across the face with a wet fish. So thanks, Jezza. But yeah, made some bold cash, so can't be too unhappy. But the other one in this boat is Ollie Dempsey, 298.6K, break even of Liam. We're hitting it pretty early on. 6-9, ding, ding. Dinner for two. I'm going to literally have to get one of those bells on the desk here just to make it easier. So I don't have to put the sound effect in every single time in post-production. But like I said, much like Sharp, those owners that held Dempsey were traded to, unfortunately, a season low 49 and an 8K drop in price. But with his break even now above his average of 68.4, only slightly, but it counts, time to cash out the 150.2K total profit he has made overall. So, yeah. Always look on the bright side of life.
That's it. On the chopping block, let's move on. And it is Zach Williams, 334.5K, break even of 80. He did his job nicely on the weekend with a score of 78, pushing his price up a further 7.2K in value. He has made 118.4K so far, but with a season high break even of 80, well above his 68.3 season average, might be the perfect time to pull the eject lever. He's at that perfect price to use a springboard to a genuine keeper. However, if you are struggling for on-field scorers, he might be a hold, and it wouldn't be the worst option with scores of 78, 92, 81, proving he could at least match his break-even and score well enough to justify a hold. According to Supercoach Gold, if he can score 71, whilst he would drop 4K in value, his break-even would drop to just 40 next week. So that's some food for thought there. Collingwood, they give away the least points to general defenders and a negative effect on wing defenders. So just something to factor in if you are looking to hold him.
And it's interesting as well, because then designated kickers, they give away the
second most. So that is something to factor. Oh my God. It's all positives and negatives. I don't
know. Yeah, isn't it? It's kind of weird, which is strange because the defense as a whole, you'd think there'd be a correlation there, but...
But I suppose it's, yeah, giving away...
They're probably allowing these designated kickers to take easy kickouts, hit up targets, all that sort of thing, and they roll back a bit further, back down the ground. But, yeah, so that's kind of that with Zachy Williams. Next up, we have Aaron Cadman. He's priced at 287.7K. He has a break-even of 52. Went up another 7.6K after scoring 53, taking his total price increase to 160.1K in total. And the beauty of his ultra-consistent scoring in recent weeks around the 60 mark is his break-even will continue to hover around that 45 to 50 region over the next few weeks. However, without a spike score like he had in round two against the Eagles when he scored a 90, he'll only go up 5K at a time. So whilst you could continue to hold him as a bit of a slow burn, the time is probably right to use him either as a stepping stone to a genuine primo or trade him down to a hot new rookie on the block to cash in 170K odd if going for example, a 117K price rookie.
Yep, agreed. Move him on if you still, or not move him on, but you know, you can hold him, but definitely one that you can consider moving on this week. Next up, we have Tom Powell, 414.8K, break even of 115. As you mentioned earlier, his drop in CBAs from 77% to just 14% is a big issue, largely caused by Will Phillips. As such, it has put into question his consistent role in the Roos engine room, but also whether he is a top six forward. If Phillips loses his spot, there may be cause for sticking by Powell and seeing his CBAs and scoring increase to regular levels of recent weeks. But if Phillips remains, it might be time to use Powell as a stepping stone to a big dog primo. Watch closely once teams are released and better assess the plan of attack from there. One thing that I do feel like might be positive for Powell is the fact that they're just kind of like trialing everything. Like I feel like they're in experiment mode.
Yeah.
At the Kangas. So potentially it's just kind of like he might be okay. But I don't know. Yeah, watch to see whether Phillips is named and then we can go from there. I think it's, but it's, I don't know, his break even of 115. I was gonna say it might be worth holding him for another week, but I don't know.
We saw what can happen with, you know, jumping off a rookie because we're worried about their role in McKercher.
Yeah,
McKercher came out and scored that 100 odd and had his role back. So, I mean, it can reverse itself and can stem the bleeding when it comes to cash. But yeah, you're totally right in terms of the weird experiment that Clarko's going through now. Like Paul Curtis, 26% CBAs, hasn't had a CBA. Actually, sorry, round one, apologies, 3%. But aside from that, 26% on the weekend. He's a small forward. What are they doing? Are they trying to use him as a bit of a Tom Papley top number? Small forward running through the middle? I don't know. But
yeah,
strange.
Clarko's doing his best Bevo impersonation by the looks of it.
Yes, he's just throwing magnets in the air and seeing where they land on the whiteboard. classic. But anyway, let's move on to get them in. So first up, we have Jordan Dawson priced at 558.2K. And his break even now is a low 24. Now, he did put in back-to-back big games with 168 and a 127 on the weekend, and most notably washed away any fears of his ability to continue scoring well with Crouch back in the team that many of us had. Having said that, his CBAs did drop from 80% to 60% with Crouch returning, but it didn't affect his scoring, most importantly. Could increase 36.5K in value if he can score 104, according to Supercoach Gold, and is currently still 89.4K underpriced on his starting price. So if you think he can be a top eight averaging mid from here, this is the week to grab him.
Even if you think he's going to be a top nine or 10, like you can play him as your M9. Like he's probably cheap enough at that price.
A big ceiling as well, like we saw last year. So he's the sort of guy that, you'd love to have off the bench if you could do that.
Yeah, at worst. Let's move on to the next guy. It is Caleb Sarong, 621K. Break even of 98. With a score of 140 on the weekend, it does mean he's now scored 125 plus in over half of his games, flashing his sizable ceiling and captaincy credentials, I guess. Yeah. Even better is his high floor, with his two lower scores being 94 and 110. Very nice. He's now at the same starting price, having shed the 37K he made with his big starting scores. So if you wanted to bring him in, the time is now, with the Dockers set to face Richmond this weekend, who give up bulk points to opposition mids. Get him in.
Yep, get him in if you can. The other guy, and is someone that a lot of people have been eyeing off, big price, Zaki Merritt. He's now 640K on the dot, break even of 130. And he started the season 2024 like none other. Like, we're so used to him starting slow, then always coming good after the buys. Not this year. Came bursting out of the blocks, and he's averaged 124.3 with 127-plus scores in five of his total seven games and a low score of just 108. So it's this high consistent ceiling and high floor we love from our primos, and he is the man leading the charge there. So best of all, he is now 10K cheaper than his starting price, believe it or not. And to make things better, he faces West Coast this weekend and North in 2 weeks' time, followed by Richmond. And for good measure, he faces West Coast again in round 15, as you would know, as a Don's man, Liam. And if you want him, there is no more of a perfect time than now. However, we were chatting about this pre-show. You could maybe wait a week if you like to live dangerously.
Yeah, I think you could potentially wait. So take the risk of him against West Coast. I'm just getting his scores up against West Coast quickly. I mean,
oh yeah, so it's in season stats now, the new layout.
Yeah, okay, I'm going back to my phone, sorry.
Yeah, that's right. He's 143, he's past three, we'll also bring that up. 143, 110, and 111.
That's against the Eagles?
Yep.
Oh, the app's also updated.
Oh no. Oh no.
And even his season stats, I guess, this year, he's only gone 130 plus three times, and they've been 131, 132, and 136. So I think what my point is I don't think he's going to become, I don't think he's going to go off his chops this week. He then faces GWS the week after, which I think is like his worst or second worst average of any side. I think he averages about 95 against them. And then he faces North, which is, I think, the perfect time to bring him in. So potentially, if you can't afford him, you could get him at a very similar price in a couple of weeks, I'd say. So that's for me. I'm like 20K off getting him in. So I'm going to hold off and hope I can get him in a couple of weeks.
So yeah, you're the perfect example of someone like, if you can't reach for him now, he's not going to be at least out of reach after this week.
No.
So, you know, all that's needed is another downgrade next week if you wanted to bring him in then. But as you say, against the Giants, he could potentially, depending on what his break-even is going to be next week, depending on how he performs, again, might be, you know, worthy of holding off on. So don't mind that. The only thing that worries me, Liam, and this is a question for you being a Dons man, but I remember listening to the game against, where was it? Was it the Crows when he was killing it? And then he was thrown forward, I think, from memory.
Yep. In the fourth quarter, I think. Sorry, I was going to say second half. Fourth quarter, I think it was. Yeah. They threw him forward. I think they were starting to tag him. And what they've been doing is getting him forward and bringing in others up to the mids when he's getting tagged to kind of, I guess, break the tag. I'm not too concerned. I think he's learning to break through a tag or play through a bit of a tag. And really, I don't know his run off the top of my head, but I don't think he's going to have too many massive tag issues, like actual proper taggers.
I mean, there's West Coast Giants, North, he won't tag, Richmond, Gold Coast, Tookie Miller, but no, not really.
Carlton, maybe Hewitt.
Then West Coast again. Geelong's O'Connor, so maybe that's one.
Potentially there. Collingwood won't.
No. Melbourne.
No, I don't think they would.
And then Adelaide again, who they could use to tag.
Were they using? I can't recall who they were using. Was it Saligo?
Was it Berry or Saligo?
Or Berry. I can't remember. It was one of them. It wasn't a hard tag. It was more just like a bit of a run with role. So I'm not too stressed about that as a potential owner down the line.
Yep.
And I think, as you said, his run for the rest of the year, like West Coast, GWS, negative, North, Richmond, Gold Coast, I mean, Carlton, negative, West Coast again, Geelong giving up big points to inside mids, Collingwood again, Melbourne. He has a pretty good run, if I'm honest.
Yeah. And he was absolutely incredible last year. Like, just like talking about his high floor and everything. So it would have been, I think it was round 11 last year was when I jumped on him. That's right. Yeah. Cause he scored the 162 against Richmond leading into the game against West Coast. I think he slightly went up in price. I was like, stuff it, whatever. Got on him. Then he scored 110, 137, 105, 126, 168, 136, 69. I think that, dinner for two, ding, ding. That was his lowest actual score for the season. And
who
it
was
105, 139.
Against, do you remember?
That was against the Cats. So he might have been tagged then.
Yeah, and that was down in
GMHBA.
It was a wet night, I remember. I was there.
Oh, yes, I remember you telling me about that.
It was a shocking place, should it be? But anyway.
So, yeah, he's got those high ceiling games, but the high floor is something that I really, really love, just for that security. I mean, if you're playing for leagues, cash leagues, that obviously helps you as well, gives you a bit of a safety net. But there's probably no doubting, is it? Like, he's going to be a top eight mid. So, yeah, it's whether or not
you
jump in now.
Just when you get him in, I don't think there's a massive risk in getting on him in 2 weeks. Like, if you're tossing up between Sarong and Merritt, Sarong's the one to get in this week. His break-even's 98. If he goes 130, it's going to make him hard to get in later. Yeah.
Yep. No, I like it. Very, very good. Well, let's move on to the next category. It is consider, wait, and hold, and we'll obviously classify as to which is which. But Bradley Dale, so he's one to consider, and he's priced at 457.9K with a break-even of negative 45. So he's had back-to-back games of 175 and 132. So it's hard not to see the appeal of Dale, especially with the low break-even. However, don't be seduced so quickly, as there is a reason why his scoring output has skyrocketed compared to the 87, 103, and 93 he scored in his first three games. And that is due to Richards, strangely enough, having been played in Libba's spot whilst he has been out for the past couple of weeks. And he's had 76% and 92% CBAs. And I guess whilst there's no denying that Dale, he does present great value for his current output, and I say that, current output, there is all... In all likelihood, Richards will return to defense upon Libba returning, and it'll see his output regress to his normal average, you'd think, closer to that 85 to 95 mark of what it kind of is at the moment, which is what we saw in 2023 with Richards impacting him massively in defense. So I'm not too sure that personally, anyway, for me, because I have delved into this a bit deeper because I thought, oh, I probably could jump on him, use him as a bit of a playing cash cow. But I think he's almost, I think he's, what, 50, 60K below his starting price anyway at the moment. If he starts jumping down an average, he's not going to eclipse too much more than that. I mean, given his past two scores, he probably will go up quite sizably, which I guess will, I mean, according to Supercoach Plus, he's going to increase 60K if he can score 91. But really comes down to whether or not you think he's a top six defender. And for me, I don't think he will be. Outside of that, could you potentially use him as a stepping stone to another genuine primo if you have a few excess trades, which is funny to say up the sleeve? You could potentially do that as well. But for me, I don't think he's going to, you know, be above and beyond averaging what he is at the moment going forth into the season, especially with Richards going back there. That was part of the reason why Dale dropped away largely in 2023 was because of Richards. So have a look back at that. Check out DFS Australia and look at the impact that he's had over the course of the 2023 season, because it's so easy to see these big scores and we see it all the time where they're like, shit, they're scoring out of the box, got to jump on them, but there's always reasons to it. So I'm not discounting him altogether, but I'm very, very highly doubtful that he's going to be a top six defender. Again, there's so many, I guess, so much competition in defense for you know, top six spots.
And I think as well, in the past, we've seen him when he has been playing that role and he has been a super coach relevant player, I say in inverted commas, he wasn't a high floor. Sorry, he wasn't a high ceiling player. And I think that's what we're seeing here with a 175 and a 152. Unusually high. And so to me, it screams trap. Like you said, Libba returning should see Richards return to defense, you'd assume. I don't know. Maybe Libba's the new lockdown defender.
Who knows with Bevo?
Wouldn't surprise, would it? But who knows? But yeah, I'm not, I wouldn't be jumping on at this stage. I mean, he's a good price, but I just don't know if it's worth it.
The other thing to mention as well is one of those two games against St Kilda is a team who gives up by far and away.
Yes.
Almost double, actually more than double, the next best team to opposition designated kickers, which he is.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're by far and away the team to exploit when it comes to opposition running defenders. And that's a big reason as to why he had that massive 175. So there's a couple of reasons there. There's that. And then obviously Richards not being there, crampy style. So just keep it in mind. Be weary.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Next guy who we will classify as a going God. No, I'm joking. He's a hold.
Yes, for now.
At this stage.
As you say through gritted teeth.
If I had more trades. Jack Steele, 601K, break even of now 190. His price took a hit. Sorry, I haven't. This is how much I haven't wanted to look at him because I don't even know what his break even is. His price took a massive hit to the tune of 29.2K after scoring just 70 following an 84 the week before with a 130 average up until that point. Big worry came firstly with photos filtering through from midweek training where he was snapped with medicos, with the true nature of his niggles coming to light when he came out with his knee heavily strapped against for the first time all season. And whilst his CBAs were below his season average of 88%, he still had a sizable 81%, so it wasn't really through lack of roll, but a low 15 disposals and a disposal efficiency of just 60% hindering him most, which was the equal fourth lowest of any Saint on the day. The upside is he does face North and Hawthorn in his next two games. There couldn't be a better opportunity for him to turn things around. I think if he, I mean, this is the risk. His break even is 190, so he's going to lose cash.
Yep.
I mean, he should go well against, if he can't score well against North and Hawthorn, then I think it's justified in looking to move him on if you have trades. Because
that's a good point.
There's no better opportunity. But yeah, I don't know. Seriously, he's going to lose cash as well.
Like, so the Hawks, they give up the second most points to opposition inside mids, and North give up the third most.
Yeah.
So you're totally right. And it's probably, what do they call it? There's a term for it. I don't know, the yardstick, the something. It was the phrase that came to mind. It's, as soon as it appeared into my head, it disappeared, which is what tends to happen with my ADHD type brain. Probably should get tested for that. But
But I know
anyway,
what you mean.
yeah, you're totally right though. I think it's probably a good time for him to have that test because he, you know, if he fails it, then at least there's enough time for us to jump across to another genuine primo because the big issue with him over his past couple of seasons has been his fitness more than anything. And we thought that was behind him. And for him to come out and, I mean, he's not being managed for minutes either. But again, you can't really read into that because, as we know, Ross the Boss Lyon was like last year, oh, he's not hurt. He's not hurt at all. And he comes out with like half a leg. And you're like, dude, he's hurt. No, he's not. So yeah, it's hard to see. So we just have to judge it based upon performance.
That's it, exactly.
Yeah.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Well, let's move on to on the bubble. So no surprises here. First up, the sweet man, and he's oh so sweet. Jordan Sweet, he's priced at 158.7K, and his break-even is a classic, tasty, juicy, negative 113. And there's a good reason his ownership has risen to 22% at this time of this record. It's probably gone up another 2% since we've started. And it's firstly due to heading to the moon with a score of 136, displaying his scoring ability as the number one ruck with Soldo injured. Secondly, if he scores just 85 in his next two games, according to Supercoach Gold, his price will rise 165K. And if he can do it for the next three games, he'll smash 200K. If he continues scoring in the realm of what he did on the weekend, however, he will not only make that cash faster, but also head upwards of 250 to 300K in profit. So it's fair to say he is a must-have cash cow. It's this time of year. I mean, he's kind of the Briggs of this season, isn't he? We saw what happened with Briggs last year. Everyone jumped on him. There were some people that were like, no, I'll bypass him. But I think there's more reason to jump on Sweet now because I think he's actually cheaper than what Briggs was.
I think Briggs was like 200 and something.
Yeah, so there's opportunity as well for those people like myself who only have Gorn and I had Jackson in my R2, so I'm going to switch Jackson into my forward line and then trade a max cash cow down to Sweet and bank that that Mauler, and hopefully Sweet can start busting out better scores than Jackson in that position. So it works out anyway. So, yeah, he's a must-have cash cow. And then, of course, with Solder, we don't know a definitive timeline. I think I've heard, you know, between 3 to 4 weeks, could be more, could be less. But I think that's ample time for Sweet to start printing his money and just fanning it out, putting it in the money guns. I don't even know what they're called, but like, you know, the gangsters and the... I don't know. I should know it because I'm a gangster. But like, the, you know, the terminology for those money guns. Do they literally just exist just to shoot money? Or was it like...
I don't know.
Someone had that idea and they've made bank themselves for inventing that. Incredible.
That's it. That's it. Get him in.
Shoot your money guns.
Straight along from this this discussion. How is he not 100% of trades? Seriously.
I know, at the moment. Yeah.
Anyway.
Actually, since the Supercoach website updated, he's probably gone up.
He is 20.3% of trades this round so far.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, let's move on. Jake Rogers, mid-eligible, 148.8, break-even of minus 41. The Suns youngster had an out-of-the-box game in his second outing, scoring 98. But for some perspective, he did it against West Coast, who give up the fourth most points to general forwards, and he was only able to score 28 from a full game on debut. Wasn't the sub. Just keep that in mind.
Yep.
Playing as a forward pocket will come with variance in his scoring. So whilst his job security might look good early days, just don't bank on him shooting out the lights every week, and that he could end up being a bit of a slow burn, especially as a mid option. Like, I think that's is taking, I mean, I don't know. It depends on who you've got on your bench, but yeah. Sorry, this, I'm just shaking my head again because this website is just like, I pressed a button like 5 minutes ago and now it's finally loading. And it's It's not the internet. It's actually just Supercoach.
I've actually got two windows open. I didn't realize I had Supercoach open on another tab with the old layout. Oh. So I don't want to touch anything. I just want to leave it as is because I don't want to touch anything. It's just going to transform.
Yeah. Anyway.
But yeah, and it's a little bit deceiving as well. I think with Rogers, people are like, oh, he's a midfielder. So maybe he's playing in the midfield. Like for those people that don't quite know, he's not. Like he's playing as a forward. So he's not like a Graham who's in the engine room and, you know, getting bulk tackles, all that sort of stuff. So just keep that in mind. Has a bit of a slippery role, you could say. But did score well enough.
Yeah, it did.
But very comparable to this next guy in Riley Garcia. So not Hugo. It's Riley Garcia from the Dogs. As a forward only, priced at 125.2 with a break-even of negative 74. So scored an 82 in his first game for the season and then followed that up with a 64 on the weekend for 16 from 16 disposals and two tackles. Be wary, though. As Bevo mentioned in his post-match presser that if Lieber wasn't a late out, things may have looked different for Garcia in terms of opportunity. Arguably, you'd think reading between the lines, it's something to do with being a sub, maybe, just because Garcia's getting a little bit of CBAs as well. But I think with Cody Waitman now sidelined for a significant amount of time after hyperextending his elbow, it opens up a need for a small forward and with it, a consistent opportunity if he can seize it. And that's the big question there. But coming down to brass tacks, Liam, are you brave for dipping your toes back in Bevo waters? Because there could be a great white Bevo shark underneath the surface that's just ready to just clamp onto you as he's done to us time and time again.
That's my concern for anyone getting in any Dogs player from now on. Yeah, like, seriously. Yeah. Like, even those considering Bailey Dale, that's my, like, that's why I wouldn't get him, is purely the Bevo factor. I'm less concerned, like, Riley Garcia, surely. I mean, there's a position open for him. West, I think, isn't he going to miss at least a week or something?
Oh, really?
I think I read that somewhere, but I could be very wrong.
Actually, he's in my draft team, so I probably should know that.
We should talk more about draft. Oh, yeah, he copped a week ban.
Oh, did he?
And he's accepted the suspension.
Well, there we go. There's the curse. There's the curse of my draft team because I've said this months before, but I've had so many guys go down. Soldo was another one. Now I've got another one out of my team. So if anyone out there wants me to put a curse on a player, let me know. I'll put them into my draft team. They'll get injured, suspended. I had Finlayson being a dickhead, got suspended. Perkins injured. Everyone injured. So, yeah. But anyway, Riley Garcia. So, again, as you say, Liam, opens up a bit more opportunity, even more so this week especially.
Yeah, just watching. It was a bump. Okay, again, it was. Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Anyway, sorry, just seeing my live reaction of my thoughts on that 1 week suspension.
And people listening to the audio podcast, just you hear you going, oh, okay. Yeah. Like, are you sampling wine or something and cheese at the same time? It's like,
I see it from the I don't like cheese board.
We have to get that made up.
Surely I'm looking at the wrong incident.
Really? Or is it like something they've just picked out of it and it's like not even the bump?
It doesn't seem that bad.
We'll take your word for it though, Liam. He's out. And they're not going to contest it.
Well, yeah, no, it is. It's in there.
There you go.
One match. And I think they've accepted. So anyway, sorry.
Oh, okay. Maybe it was Riley Garcia that was masquerading as the lawyer, and he's like, "No, we accept," from like the back of the room. Like, hold on, and then like in the other back room, the lawyer's actually tied up, and Riley Garcia's like,
like a little mustache on.
Yeah. combing his hair with a fork. Troy McClure. Yeah, I think I may go down that path. I may dip my toes back in the water.
I'm not
just because compared to Rogers, Waitman, like he's 23k cheaper as well than Rogers, and being a tight ass that I am.
No, it makes sense. You need to scrounge that cash, but also pinch those pennies, as they say in The Simpsons. Jake, or squeeze those pennies. Sorry.
Yeah, squeeze every penny.
Yeah, I don't know, and I think we've seen a better. We've seen more consistent scoring from Garcia, like this 82 and a 64. While it's not as high as a 98, I think I'm more consistent. Like the consistency is better than a 28 and a 98. I'd rather an 82 and a 64. You know, averaging out to a 70, week to week.
Yeah, 100%. And like he had 21% CBAs his first game. That dropped to 4%. This is Garcia. So with Libba back in the team, you probably think they won't need him through the middle anymore. And I mean, hey, they've got Ed Richards if they really needed anyone to roll through to give Libba relief. Jeez, Bevo, what are you doing? But anyway, let's move on to the next guy. Our last guy rounding us out here is Likalia. So defender 123.9 with a break even of negative 43 has looked good across his first two games, filling in for Sam Taylor, scoring 53 and a 61. But the big question is whether he can hold his spot with Taylor on the cusp of returning from concussion as soon as this week. But if he can, he could eclipse 100K within 3 weeks if he can maintain a consistent score of 60 to 65. Interesting. Interesting. I mean, the Giants are kind of, they've debuted quite a few players as well, haven't they?
Yeah.
So does it mean that Aaliyah gets more of a crack?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's one of those weird things where you feel like the logical thing is for him to come out for Taylor.
Yeah.
But it almost feels unfair to Aaliyah. Like he hasn't done much wrong. And really, he needs to be played. Like, he's that, what was he like? It was a first round pick, off memory.
Yeah, I think it was like pick 15 or something, I think, from memory. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough one. It's a tough one.
Yeah.
If Taylor's named and Aaliyah is named, I would consider it. But I think at this stage, I'm probably going Garcia.
Yeah, because I was looking, this is like before all these other rookies threw up their hands as options. Especially with Jordan Sweet, which came from nowhere. But I was actually thinking, oh, I might have to settle for Likalia, which is kind of what I had in mind by fading Nguyen. Now maybe I don't have to go down that route. But, yeah, it just probably comes down to, I mean, you won't hopefully have to play them on field. It's more just who's going to be able to score the most, who's going to get the most opportunity. So it's going to work well if Sam Taylor comes back into the team and he stays in the team. I think that probably bodes well for his job security short and long term. But scoring potential, probably on par with Garcia, maybe. Who knows?
I mean, it would make them a very tall back line.
Like, yeah, that's true, yeah.
I don't know how tall Buckley is, but I'm assuming he's tall.
He's a tall bloke, yeah. I was just going to say he's a tall bloke. If you look up his stats, which you can't look up weights now, but heights you still can, and it's just going to come up with, he's a tall
What's
bloke.
What's his first name? Buckley.
Jack.
Jack Buckley. All right. Oh, it does say that. It does say tall bloke.
Oh, there you go.
No. He is 193. Okay, not as tall as I thought, but.
Oh, interesting. And then it says in the app that he's 195. So who knows if he's.
That's it. He's telling us the truth.
But
that would make them with Taylor, Buckley, Aaliyah, and then, I mean, you're also playing, what's his face?
Himmelberg as well. There.
Like, it's tall.
It's very tall.
But
yeah, depending on matchups and stuff as well. Like,
Sydney.
Like Richmond are pretty depleted in the forwards. So, you know, there's teams out there that are matchup dependent. They might have to
look to drop
someone
him
out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, very good point, Liam.
That's just something to consider. I'd be probably shocked if he does survive just purely off the basis that they're going to be tall.
Yeah, exactly. It is something to consider. Yep. But Liam, now we delve into the next segment, of course, but you know, must preface it by saying that we have made a call out for people to send in their own renditions of the title of this next segment, which is I Am the Captain Now. So if you're keen to be featured in our show, get to sending yours in. But this week, we actually don't have any that have been sent in. So no doubt everyone is still reeling from the Tropic Thunder Simple Jack crossed with Arnold Schwarzenegger inspired rendition the Tactical Tim sent in last week. So understandable. For now, the baton has been passed back to us, Liam. And like we said, if you'd like to be featured as a guest announcer, easiest way to do so is via our Discord. So jump on in. You can see the link in the comments section on YouTube, via our, I guess, Twitter. Hit us up if you don't find the link and we'll give it to you. But Liam, shall we do it for old time's sake? We will fly the flag, the captain's flag that has skull and crossbones on it.
Mm.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm the captain. Now.
Look at me. I'm the captain now.
That was quality.
I don't know what was happening then.
Our
I felt
best
like,
one yet.
I felt like we were going into slow motion. I was trying to time it with you, and I think you were trying to time it with me, and we're just throwing
it
each other out.
It was not working in the slightest.
No, it wasn't working. Yeah. Maybe next time we should do, like, I'm that, and then you go, captain, and the other one says now. Like, we have to sort of break it up, but...
Yes.
I don't know.
Or next time we just alternate. One of us does it. The other one next week.
Or even better, listeners and viewers, send yours in.
Actually, you know what? We're doing all the work here. Come on, guys.
Yeah, 100%. Exactly. Don't worry about super thanks or super likes, whatever they're called. Thank us with this. but no, we do like super thanks, of course, because it is the I don't like cheese board. So anyway, Liam, I'm the captain now.
And I'm the captain now. We chat about VC options and C options.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, apparently. What's Supercoach? Do we talk about that?
Yeah.
That you have
well, that's what it is.
Upcoming round of Supercoach.
That's why we're called Supercoach.
As,
okay.
Is that what it is? As always, we scrounge through the data and found the top options for you to consider. And first up, we have Jordan Dawson up against Port. Has gone on a tear in the last 2 weeks with scores of 168 and 127 in his last two games. Faces the Power on Thursday night, who he has his fourth best average against of any team, 106.3 from seven games. A very nice early pot option for you.
But let's move on to the next one. It is Nick Dacos up against Mombob in Carlton. Has only played the Blues on four occasions for scores of 59, 81, 82, and 100. It's actually his worst average of any side, but has been back in form in the last few weeks with a three-round average of 121. Georgie boy Hewitt might run with him. Who knows? But I think with Carlton, lost my captain's hat, I reckon they'll go head-to-head. But I think probably a little bit down the scale for me in terms of captaincy options. So it might be a bit of a pod if you want to go down that route.
I don't mind.
Pod GC.
On to the next bloke, and it is Sammy Walsh up against the Pies, your boy Damon, averaging 116 against the Pies from six games, his fourth best average against any side. Comes off some monster scores in recent weeks of 166 and 130 before that 104 on the weekend. In his last three against the Pies, he has gone 92, 123, and 105.
I like
it. Mind it as a VC. On a Friday night.
Good old Walshy, time to shine. Next up, we have Isaac Heaney up against the Giants. So six of his seven scores have been 120 or above this year. And his last three against the Swans? Well, against the Giants, I should say. Sorry, getting my my New South Wales teams mixed up. Or they Canberra. Are they classified as Canberra? I don't know, because they're playing Canberra as well.
They should just be a Canberra team.
Yeah. Anyway. It's greater Western Sydney, but yeah, anyway. So he's form against the Giants, 82, 54, and a 141. Not really much to write home about, but it's a different Heaney this year, of course. So if you want to back him in, based upon his recent form, which as it's looking at the moment, Brownlow form, he is incredible. So he is one to consider.
Agreed. On the other side of the ledger, though, we have Tom Green. He returned to form on the weekend against the Lions, scoring 159. After two sub-100 scores. His last three against the Swans read 118, 126, and 164. A nice option for those two looking someone different, I guess.
Yep. The Green Machine. He is
I didn't
back.
know where I was going there.
I could have jumped in and helped you, but I was like, no. I think you're going somewhere. Take me there.
I started that sentence and we all went on the journey together.
We did, and it was quite a journey. Let's just say that we got to the destination in the end. It reminds me of the National Lampoon's European Vacation. I don't know if you've seen it, but Chevy Chase and his family, they're on the it's like a 6-lane roundabout, and he gets stuck on like the inside lane. And he just like keeps going around, and he's like stuck in there from like morning, afternoon, and night.
There it is.
I know. I can't seem to get over to the left, honey. Yes.
We know, Big Ben.
Parliament.
It's amazing. I cannot get left.
There's Big Ben, kids. Parliament.
That was virtually the journey that we went on with you
there.
Yeah,
pretty much. I felt
classic.
That.
Yeah. Next up, we have Harry Sheezel up against the Saints. Averages 116 against the Saints from his two outings and has gone 120 plus in four of his seven outings. Oh, and on top of that, the Saints give away the most points to opposition wing defenders. So get on him. I think he's been in really, really good form. But the only thing that worries me a little bit is the Clarko Bevo. Type Jekyll and Hyde that he's got going on, putting Sheezel into the midfield. Just leave him in defense, at least for this one game. But I do like it as a VC option, especially if you can. Look very, very good.
Yep. Next up, we have Max Gawn up against Geelong. The big bearded one has been in a rich run of form, averaging 136.1 so far, with three 160 plus scores and two 129 plus scores among his first seven games. Absolute insanity. Whilst he only averages 108.4 against Geelong, the Cats give up the seventh most points to opposition rucks, and you only need to give Gawn a sniff and he'll absolutely tear them to shreds, especially if Conway comes in.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, it almost looks like that at the moment. It's like every second week Conway's getting a run and Stanley's getting a rest. Strange setup with he shall not be named, Mr. Scott. But a very good point as well that will elevate things even further. Geez, he could have hit 200 plus. I'm sorry, Liam, but it might be time to get him in. Next up, we have Zachary Merritt up against West Coast. Is it Zachariah? Yeah, let's go with Zachariah.
Yep.
Zachariah Springfield. So he faces the Eagles, who he has his third best average against, 112.3 from 11 games. Has only ever failed to turn up against them in one of those games. His first, way back in 2014. A solid option for a safe captaincy, you'd think, especially when you consider that he has turned up in each game this year and gone 125 plus in five of his seven games. So as we say, 125, that's a captaincy or the VC lock and load score. So, geez, he's almost in my side at the moment, Liam, without actually being in it. Tempted.
Anyway, next up, Marcus Bontempelli up against Hawthorn. LeBont hasn't been in the best form in recent weeks when we're talking captaincy type scores, but this is the champ in Bont we're talking about when he does face the Hawks this week. He got the second most points to opposition mids. He's also scored 136, 122, and 115 in his last three. Need we say more? Now, Damon, in our head-to-head last week, you opted for your boy, Walshy, scoring 104, Silly. While I went for one, Matthew Rau, who scored 136, has seen me draw even level on our Al Capitano head-to-head with a differential of just 8 points in your favor.
Exactly. This is the rivalry that we're talking about. Don't worry about our just overall head-to-head. This is where it's at.
It's the irony because I actually can't pick a captain for my own side every week.
But at least you had, like, the guy that you chose was the guy that you brought into your team in Rowley.
That worked well.
At least that worked well. But I remember at the time when I was like, Walshy, I was like, oh, back him in. When really I should have just played the percentages and gone for Gawn because Gawn was my VC. He was always going to be my VC. I was pretty confident with him, but that's right. It means that we're what, evens now. So
evens,
even Stevens
with you slightly ahead.
So the stakes are high. The decisions are final.
This is Judge Drury.
The captaincies are real. Maybe we should do that. We should record a instead of doing maybe next year, instead of doing I'm the Captain now, I'll mix it up and we'll do a parody of Judge Judy. Like the decisions are final. The captains are real.
Can I be the bailiff?
Yes. And they're like handing over like the middle of folder that's like filled with just nothing.
Walk up to the people and be like, take it off them and hand it to her. Like,
yeah,
that show.
Absolute gangster. So the decisions here are final. The captaincies are real, Liam.
They are.
We're running with this already. So I get the first choice. It's a tough one because there's a few you could choose from. There's quite a few.
There is.
I know you're laughing. I don't know why you're laughing.
Just choose one.
The stakes are real, though. Decisions are final. The tagline's changing every time, as I say. I'm going to go for... I know. I'm sorry, Judge Drury. I'm going to go for...
Talk us through who your options are.
Okay. I'm choosing between a She's Nuts...
Yeah.
A Max Gorn.
Yeah.
And a Merritt, but also a Bond. Mm. But Bond, I'll probably scrub off. I've pretty much named every single option that we went through. I just want
everyone.
Please, one of each. Thank you. I'll get the number 4, number 6, number 7, like I'm in a bloody Chinese shop.
I'd knock off Bond I wouldn't. Yeah, of those.
You know what? I'm going to go for. Oh, I should have gone for him last week. I'm just going to go for the big bearded one. Even though I stupidly am fading the two guys, especially with the Merritt up against West Coast. But I'll back in the Gorney without knowing who the Ruckman is that he's facing. Miso Gorney. All right, I'm going to do it. That's it. Lock and load. Liam, who are you going for?
Well, there are many options that could be considered. There's, Jordan Dawson.
Right.
And there's also Sam Walsh.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also Nick Daicos. But I also like Isaac Heaney. And Tom Green. Oh, yes. Tom Green's also a good option.
Oh, Tom Green, yes, he's good.
I mean, Harry Sheasel. I mean, I can't pick Max Gorn, but, there is Harry Sheasel.
Mm-hmm.
Merritt as well.
Would you have gone for Gorn if I didn't?
Probably not.
No? Okay. All right.
Probably not. Yes and no. Like, I would have considered him, but I probably wouldn't have landed on him, I reckon.
Uh-huh.
All right. I am going to go Zach Merritt.
Jeez, you're pushing me towards getting him, Liam. Oh,
only because I feel like there's some safety there.
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
yeah,
Bont I don't really like. Nash is still, there's Nash and what's the other bloke's name? McGuinness.
Like, oh, yes, yes.
As potential run with roles. Gorn, I like. Sheasel, I agree with you. I don't. If it was a VC option, I'd choose Sheasel. Tom Green, I like, but he's just been a bit up and down.
Yeah.
And then Walsh, I'm not entirely sure. Daicos as well. And then Dawson, I'm not too keen on. So Merritt it is.
Do you think there's a chance they could try and tag Merritt? Like with a Jinbi or a, I don't
Potentially.
Know who else they have. Just because they've been shredded to ribbons every time you guys have played them. I don't know.
I don't know. For my sake, because I can't get him in this week, I kind of hope so.
Okay. For reverse psychology. All very good. That is that. Well, Liam, it's time for you to usher in this next segment. You alone.
Why is that, Damon? Because I got to know.
Hey, I got to know.
Oh, my God. Oh, I didn't know where you're going with that. Oh, it's like, when are you going to end?
Neither did I.
I got to. What could it be?
No.
No. Well, yes, in I Got to Know, we are answering your questions. And we have had a couple that have been sent in.
Yes, be serious.
One which is multi-layered. But the first one is a bit more straightforward, easy to digest. Dracos on Twitter, at Dracos_98. And he asks, is trading Powell worth it if he raises funds to trade in both Tom Green and Sarong? Not just one, but both. That there is a 100% roll gold yes for me.
Is Dracos like a mixture of Drake and Dacos? Because I'm loving this.
Oh, very good. I thought you were going to say, is it like Draco Malfoy?
Oh, that's another one. Yeah.
From Harry Potter.
Anyway.
Yeah, did you say Draper and Dacos?
No, Drake. Drake.
Oh, as in Drake the rapper or the artist? Yeah.
Yes. Yes, him.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I don't know. It would be a weird matchup. Weird duo.
So
anyway.
a singer and a footy player.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. Let us
anyway,
know.
Is trading... Yes, do it. I don't mind it.
Yep.
Tom Green and Sarong will both finish as top... What are they? Top eight mids. Powell is 50-50, I reckon, or even probably 75-25. Nice. 50-50, I'm going to say. Being a top six forward.
Yep.
So
I do like it.
I think it makes sense. I mean, it depends on your trade situation. If you've used a lot of trades, then maybe it's not worth it, but I don't mind it. I think you're getting two uber primos in there.
Yep, 100%. Well, this next one is a bit multi-layered, so stick with us. But it has been sent in by, on our Discord, Tom Stewart Little, whose actual name is Sam. So he's got three options here, trade options. Option one, he asks Marshall out with Sweet going into R3. So Sweet comes into R3, Marshall goes out. With the trade, in comes English. Banks 215K, and there's other stuff here. Forward, Darcy plays on field, Closey on field. Option two, Marshall out. Sweet goes into his spot at R2, so he plays Sweet. And in turn for trading out, Marshall brings in either Merritt or Sarong with 170K in the bank. So it's about 35K less than the first option. And we'll have to play one of Wilson or Darcy on field, plus D'Ambrosio or Closey. Third option, Marshall stays in the side. Sweet comes in at R3. Out goes D'Ambrosio through the trade. In comes Anderson. So that's virtually just an upgrade of mid-pricer or rookie. To a genuine primo, keeps Marshall, backs him in, plays Sam Darcy and Closey on field, but only 25K in the bank. Keeps Marshall, but gets an extra primo in this case. I think of those, I would strike option three off the list, just because, I mean, it doesn't leave you too much in the bank. I'm a big fan of trying to spread as much money around as you can and maximize points. I think in that case, I would prefer to, I mean, ideally, I really haven't been a fan of Marshall, but so I'm probably a little bit prejudiced here. But Sweet R3, I prefer Sweet in R2 just for the pure fact that if he can match Marshall's output or go around about that same average from here on out, you'll be able to bring in another primo in the midfield, as he mentioned in option two, which could be a Merritt or a Sarong. So if Sweet levels with Marshall, you're virtually getting a primo for free. In a sense.
Sounds like girl maths.
Yeah, girl maths is the one. but then also option two leaves him with 170K in the bank.
Was Marshall injured?
So yeah, that's the big thing to consider as well. So he copped a knee knock, went off the ground, was assessed downstairs, came back onto the field, but wasn't running in the same capacity. You know, around the groundwork that Marshall has is very strong. It's a strong part of his game. That was pretty much non-existent. And he was lumbering around, and he was not in a good shape. So there's that. And then there's also the worry about, like, Ross, the boss, has said a few weeks ago that they might consider resting or at least bringing in Tom Campbell to give him a bit of relief. And I think this is a big, big watch heading into team sheets on Thursday. The fact that Campbell may be named, and if he is, I would be a little bit worried.
Yeah.
Because, you know, having to share the ruck. We all know what that was like when Paddy Ryder was playing for the Saints, and Marshall is not the same sort of guy that you want in your team when that happens.
No. Yeah. If based off that, I think I don't mind Sweet going into R3 because he's still going to make you cash there. I mean, it comes down to your team. But of those options, I think option two is my favorite. Sweet straight into R2, Marshall out. He's not looking like he's going to be a top three ruck at this stage. Definitely not a top two ruck. It'll be Gorn and, well, I don't know now, actually. Is it English?
English, and I think Marshall was. But, yeah, I think in light of the injury niggle that he has, especially if it's knee-related, and we all know what's happening with Steele.
So it is currently, you're right. It's currently Gorn and then English.
Yeah.
Mm.
And, like, English is a good price. That's the thing as well to factor in for his option one. I don't mind that. And that's kind of my game plan that I had from 3-4 weeks out leading into now. And the plan was always to get English in at this stage, but the game's changed. With Sweet now being available, it reminds me so much because I've been there last year with Briggs. Briggs was, you know, the Sweet of this year. And I had Gorn and English, and I had Briggs at R3. And I think I was only able to use Briggs across one of the bye weeks. Every other week he was at R3 and he was busting out all these nice scores, and I wasn't able to loop him on. So seeing that, and I can see what's potentially going to happen here as well. If he can emulate that Sweet with what Briggs was doing, it just means you can maximize points on field whilst also improving other parts of your team with that option two that he has. But by the same token, English, if you can turn his form around, and it's starting to sort of change, I can see the appeal of that as well, because it does leave him with a bit more bank to bring in another primo with that 215K in the bank for option one.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think option two is the better option. It's giving you bank. It's giving you Sweet into R2, who's going to score well as you'd expect Marshall to. Sweet's also going to go up in cash massively. You'll be able to get Sweet up to an English if you need to. And it's giving you Emerit and Sarong, who I think are going to average probably more. Sorry, Emerit or Sarong, obviously, who I think are going to be better options to hold. And yeah, I think, look, I'm going to say that's my, I'm probably going there. Option two. It's hard. Yeah. It's tough. It's tough because it's full of hypotheticals. And we don't have full information. But I do like Sweet into R2, like the Briggs of last year.
Yeah. And like with Anderson as well, like in that option, he's been way too up and down. Like 122, 129, started the season well, but then had a 98, 89, then a 155, then a 50, then a 151. So like the deviation in his scores is massive. But
if you're playing for overall, it's not going to hurt you as much because he's going to average out. But if you are playing for any sort of league, that's going
to
kill you
from week to week. Yeah.
And I think when you consider that compared to a Merit or a Sarong, like there's a big difference in quality.
Yep.
Of scores.
Yeah, 100%. Yep. No, I totally agree there. So hopefully that helps you out there. Tom Stewart Little, aka Sam. Let us know how you go. But Liam, that does bring us to the end of the show. But before we go, where can our listeners and viewers find us across our socials?
Yes, on YouTube, if you search Supercoach Edge, and please don't forget to like and subscribe. On Twitter, you'll find us at Supercoach_Edge, Damon at DamoJ88, myself at LiamEvans_95, and on Facebook and Instagram, search Supercoach Edge, and you'll find us there. But before I hand over to you to round us out, Damon, just want to let all of the good folk, not the you people of the Supercoach Edge community.
Not again.
that it is your birthday tomorrow, I don't know whether this will go live. Is it?
Yes. Yeah. That's true. It's true. Yeah.
I don't know what day this is actually going live.
It'd actually be today. Tuesday the 30th. Yes, but no, thank you, Liam. I completely forgot
so
it was my birthday
everybody
tomorrow.
Needs to to drop into your DMs and say happy birthday.
Hell, you old bastard.
Hey, I think they liked us.
Have the Rolling Stones killed.
Oh, sir, those aren't...
Do as I say.
Every year, I tend to forget my birthday's coming up, and probably for good reason, because it's just another year older. But anyway, until we cryogenically freeze ourselves...
Bloody
then,
hell. I regret saying happy birthday now.
Until we cryogenically freeze ourselves to... I guess, then thaw ourselves out for Haley's comet, as we spoke about last week, to come round.
What year was it?
The year 8060. No, it wasn't. I don't think there was a year 69,
I've still
was
got
there?
I've still got the Excel spreadsheet that I did it in.
Oh, my God. You put more work into that than you have your Supercoach trade plan, you by the sounds of it. But I do appreciate that.
All right, so we just have to...
Yes, what you can do.
Freeze ourselves until 6,698.
Yes. It's a little while away. So we'll still be doing this podcast then, Liam. Don't worry. Yeah. We'll no doubt we'll have found the fountain of youth. And then we'll be like chained to a desk or something in a library, like a museum, sorry. And people
That's
will
right. We'll find the we'll give it some to a five so you can keep playing.
I knew you were going to go there.
Being our Birdman.
And likewise, steel as well. So when he has an ailment with his knee, you can just give him that to give a bit of pep in his step. And
no, never again.
No. Well, thank you. Soon. Thank you, Liam. Thank you for that. Thank you for the well wishes. And send us bulk 69 references. Not actual.
Straight to your DMs.
Do not send Pornhub references or anything like that. But anyway, thank you, ladies and gents. Thank you, Liam, for the kind wishes. And that rounds us out for round 7. We'll see you to do it all again for round 8. May your trades hit the mark and your scores head to the moon. We'll catch you next week.
See you guys.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.